Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Well, hello and welcome to podcast number 8 of Near Miss Listen and Learn. My name is John Tippett. I'll be your moderator for today's podcast. Joining me today is Jim Rist. You might remember Jim from our last recording. I work as a battalion chief in Montgomery County, Maryland, suburb of D.C., combination department, and also serve as a project manager for the International Association of Fire Chiefs and the group that currently manages the National Firefighter Near Miss Reporting System. Jim, if you'll remember, is a program coordinator with National Programs in the IFC. He has over 35 years of fire service experience, both in volunteer and career departments. He's a life member of the West Haverstraw Volunteer Fire Department, volunteer host company number 2 in New York State, as well as a retired federal chief officer from the West Point Fire and Emergency Services. Caitlin is a project assistant that works with us in National Programs, and she'll be taking care of our commercial announcement today. I want to extend a sincere thanks to Firehouse.com for making the podcast a reality. Based on your feedback, the podcasts have been pretty successful, and we appreciate the support and the continued comments. In this edition of Near Miss Listen and Learn, we're going to be discussing the role of the incident safety officer. Our topic for this episode comes from the 2009 24/7 365 Near Miss Safety Calendar. We've run out of the hard copies of the calendar this year, but you can still download a copy from www.firefighternearmiss.com on the resources page, and you'll be able to download one there for you. The reports featured in today's podcast can be found one of three ways. They're going to be posted on radiofirehouse.com around the same time that the podcast posts, or you can go to the nearmiss.com website and use the keyword search feature on the home from the home page, and then enter the keywords safety officer. We received over 300 hits back that mentioned safety officers, so it was kind of a challenge to pick the reports that we use for today, but we think you'll probably find them pretty interesting. And then finally, you can also use the specific report numbers by using the report, report number search feature. Well, let's take a few minutes here and talk about the role of the incident safety officer. There are probably four criteria or four areas where you'd want to devote some time and attention when it comes to the role of the incident safety officer. And in those four positions, we're talking about the position itself, the requirements for the position, the importance of the position, and then what you do to fill that role. The position varies by department. As Jim and I were talking before we came online, in some fire departments, it's a designated position. It's sometimes married up with health and safety as well. In other departments, it's purely just a person that takes an incident role and provides safety oversight. Sometimes the position is also married up with the training officer. So it can be anything from a dedicated position to just an ad hoc appointment, but it's often tied in with training. Requirements for the position vary, and there's a variety of certification opportunities out there. We want to throw a shout-out to the Fire Department Safety Officers Association. They have a great program for gaining certification. And then if you check with your state training director, you can probably find a wealth of other opportunities there to become certified. National Fire Academy also offers some courses for training programs for safety officers. And the bottom line here is that in order for your personnel to be specific and also dedicated to the job, they need to be certified. The importance of the role, it's an emerging position in the fire service. Came online or in vogue probably around the mid to late 60s or early 70s. It was began to be realized as a separate objective view of the incident and operation scene. Somebody that could take a look or take a step back from the action-oriented firefighter and look out specifically for the safety of the firefighters operating on the scene. That single focus that the safety officer has creates the specialty need in the field so that it's not just enough to appoint anybody as a safety officer. You really want to look for some people that have experience, and that leads us to how you're going to fill that role. They should also be people that have demonstrated performance and commitment to the role of safety. They have to have a thick skin because the safety officer is not always the most popular individual on the incident scene or in the department. And they also have to be unafraid to step in or speak up when it comes to looking out for firefighter safety. So we'll move on to topic one, and these are going to be the incidents that do not include a safety officer at the scene. Our first report is a working house fire, and it's report number 06558. It was submitted by a firefighter from a volunteer department in FEMA Region 5. The reporter in this case was involved in the event. I'm going to turn it over to Jim for the account.
Thank you, John. Event description. Our department was called in for mutual aid to a reported structure fire. While performing suppression activities at a single-family, fully involved house fire, the electrical main overhead feed burned away from the home. The line was lying on the ground near the front porch, still energized. While maneuvering a hose line, I stepped on the down line about 5 feet from the end, this resulting in the line arching. Several nearby firefighters yelled in excitement, but no specific orders were given other than to be aware of the danger. The incident commander had knowledge of the down line, and the power company was notified. During the next half hour, several other firefighters came in contact with the line, resulting in its arcing. Eventually, small, 8-inch-high orange cones were placed near the line's end. 30 minutes later, the power company disabled the line. Thankfully, no one was injured. The lessons learned are: when knowledge of a hazard exists, actions need to be taken to identify or indicate the hazard to those working in the area. Posting a notice, banner tape, or having a person stand watch to keep others away until the hazard is mitigated should be an SOP. Everyone on the fire scene is responsible for safety, but ultimately, it's the IC's responsibility if a safety officer is not assigned. It's ICS 101. Back to John.
Thanks, Jim. Well, as our first report points out, and many of us probably have experienced in the course of our time in the fire service, an active fire ground can have any number of things going on that can result in injury to firefighters. As the reporter points out, not only did this incident occur, but there was no oversight at the scene that allowed for the incident the situation to be mitigated. And a lot of times that comes from incident commander overload. The incident commander, when made aware of the situation, can make as many contacts as they want. But if it's multiple companies operating, if you're in a mutual aid environment where there's not a clearly defined working agreement, or even just by the nature of different fire departments coming together, even under the best of mutual aid packages, you can have things that go awry. Assigning that incident safety officer takes care of the hazard mitigation, because the one individual on the scene who's looking out for those types of things specifically is the incident safety officer. The report notes that several firefighters step on the line. The firefighter initially steps on the line, and yet there isn't any action that's taken place other than more firefighters step on the line. An incident safety officer, had they been designated a qualified incident safety officer, not just somebody filling a slot on the ICS chart, can make a big difference in that scene. Well, let's move on to our second report. This is report number 08124. It comes from a captain in a combination department in FEMA Region 4, and this reporter was also involved in the event. Jim?
Thanks, John. The event description. While operating at a fully involved, two-story, 16-unit apartment building fire, two firefighters and myself were operating on the C-D corner of the structure. Due to water supply problems, we had to shut down our line and step back from our position. The platform truck radioed that they were going to direct their stream to the C-D corner of the building. We immediately began walking towards the A side of the building, which was just outside the collapse zone, as we were along a tree line. Before we could make it to the front of the structure, the aerial master stream struck the brick veneer wall on the D side and caused the collapse of the entire two-story wall. Several bricks landed around us as we missed being in the collapse zone by seconds. The time from the radio transmission to the movement of the master stream was less than 10 seconds. The lessons learned. There was never any formal incident command established at this incident. The IC was roving all over the fire scene and was directly involved in operations. No safety officer or accountability system was ever established. Fire crews were freelancing all about the structure. Our department was providing mutual aid at this incident. We were providing accountability for our personnel and had a designated safety officer for our area of operation. The fire was considerably larger than our on-scene staffing could safely handle. Several neighboring departments commented that we should have had over 100 firefighters on scene. We were operating with less than 40 at a fully involved two-story, 16-unit apartment fire. Communication between divisions was almost non-existent. The platform was unaware anyone was at the CD corner, and we did not have time to tell them once they announced they were redirecting their stream. Fortunately, they did make the announcement, and although we had very little time to react, we were able to make it to safety. Fortunately, there were no injuries in this situation or at this incident. The sheer size of this building and the limited staffing, lack of command structure, lack of accountability, and lack of coordination between divisions could have led to another multiple firefighter fatality incident. Back to John.
Thanks, Jim. This report points, and it could be used on a number of different levels, and was selected for the notable point that it not only didn't have an incident command structure, but was missing a safety officer, which would be a natural line from not having command in place. The point being, as far as a safety officer is concerned, is with a safety officer in place, usually that leads to a more coordinated and organized fire ground because you've had a command structure in place as well. With the one thing the firefighter points out in this report is that he was working again in a mutual aid environment, and that really points up to the need for mutual aid packs to be ironclad and bulletproof when it comes to operating across the borders. There's a couple of other things that come into play there, the switch to defensive operations with a lack of coordination. The roving IC is an issue that has been demonstrated time and time again to be an ineffective way to command. The switch over from offensive to defensive and the short turnaround with the announcement. Also, scene accountability. All of those things can be impacted positively if there's a designated safety officer on the scene to sort of monitor those incidents as well as the performance of the personnel on the scene. Pretty good report, very graphic, points to a number of reasons why not only do you have to have your command structure in a fixed command post, but demonstrates again for a large scene like that the need to have a safety officer who's there to oversee how operations are going. One comment here, if we're talking about a structure the size of the one we're talking about with 16 apartment units in a two-story building, you may even want to consider having more than one safety officer. Although they do mention that they were suffering from a limited staffing environment. Given that they were in defensive operations, you would notably think that even if they were understaffed, there would be more than a few people standing around that could have been keeping an eye on things. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back in a minute.
Congratulations to the National Firefighter Near-Miss Reporting System and the International Association of Fire Chiefs for being named one of the 2009 recipients of the prestigious Paul S. Sarbanes Fire Service Safety Leadership Award. The award will be presented at the Congressional Fire Service Institute Dinner in Washington, D.C. on April 2nd. The award was created in honor of retired Senator Paul Sarbanes from Maryland. During Senator Sarbanes' distinguished 36-year career in Congress, he introduced legislation that supported firefighter safety and those struggling with the loss of a fallen comrade or family member. Senator Sarbanes played an instrumental role in creating the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation in 1990. The Fire Service Safety Leadership Award is recognized the Near Miss program for its exceptional contribution to firefighter health and safety. Near Miss is being recognized for its dedication to promoting and supporting firefighter health and safety initiatives, reaching out to other organizations to develop partnerships to enhance safety, becoming an advocate for firefighter health and safety, supporting the life safety initiatives developed in 2004 by American Fire Service, and interacting with government leaders to work toward improving government programs that enhance firefighter safety. The National Firefighter Near Miss Reporting System and its sponsor, the International Association of Fire Chiefs, are honored to receive the Paul S. Sarbanes Fire Service Safety Leadership Award. As the Near Miss program enters its fifth year of operations, it is experiencing an increase in submitted reports and comments from firefighters about how the program is improving their safety. These are positive signs to continue the forum and data collection so that firefighters can share and learn from their experience in the spirit of bringing everyone home. Visit www.cfsi.org/awards_Sarbanes.asp for more information on the Paul S. Sarbanes Fire Service Safety Leadership Award.
Thanks, Caitlin. And a special thanks out to all of you that have been using the Firefighter Near Miss Reporting System. It's through that support that allowed us to enter an opportunity and be awarded that prestigious award. So that brings us back to part two of our episode for today. And the second part is going to be talking about the value or a positive impact of having an incident safety officer on the scene. The first report we're going to look at in the second part two today is report number 06518. It was submitted by an assistant chief from a paid municipal department in FEMA Region 6. This reporter was also involved in the event, and I'm going to turn it back over to Jim.
Thanks, John. The event narrative. Fire department responded to an attic fire in a public housing unit during a thunderstorm. First dew found light brown smoke pushing from most vents of a two-story common attic building. Flames almost immediately began to show through bathroom vent pipe. Vent crew went to the roof to stop advancing fire with appropriate vent cuts. While four firefighters were working with saws and tools, the fire began to advance past the working hole contributed by high winds. Dedicated fire department safety officer immediately noticed a roof sag forming past the original auto vent opening and notified crew and battalion chief. Auto vent was now approximately 30 feet away from the crews. Safety officer ordered roof crew off the roof before final cuts were made based on the deteriorating roof conditions. The four firefighters immediately left the roof as ordered. 10 seconds after the last firefighter left the roof, total collapse and heavy fire involvement occurred in their work area. The roof crew was overly focused on completing their task and did not realize the fire had advanced as rapidly as it did. This caused severe deterioration. We were 10 seconds away from a fire fatality or multiple fatalities. The situational awareness on the roof was decreased due to heavy smoke, high winds, focused work cut, and rain. We do not get the opportunity to vent common attics on apartment buildings very often. This was a high-risk, low-frequency event, which warranted extra eyes watching the crews. I credit the battalion chief and safety officer for recognizing and verbalizing the proper evacuation order when they did. The lessons learned are, our next step is to perform a post-fire debrief. We will evaluate the need to vent against the risk versus gain model.
We will discuss the role of each member of event crew to ensure that the officer or acting officer identify approaching dangerous changes in conditions. While we train for vent operations, we did not account for the high winds. Our firefighters evacuated many residents with disabilities at this fire and performed very well. But we still must focus on our own safety. We were blessed today. Back to John.
Thanks, Jim. Well, this report takes a completely different turn than the first two that we looked at. Some of the points you'll probably take away from this report was the organization of the fireground, the fact that there was a very structured command system in place, and there was a dedicated fire department safety officer, which sort of sends the message that it's an individual that is steeped in the safety message every day or safety operations. A couple of other points to add there is that the crew reacted immediately to the safety officer's order. And then also remind everyone about the fact that firefighters on the scene do become extremely focused on their work. And it is the role of the safety officer to oversee that, not to impede what they do, but to keep an eye out for the hazards and situations around them so that they can complete their work without being injured. There's also a significant value in the fact that fire department safety officer was separated out of the actual operation of the department. They report directly to command, and they were able to get word to the battalion chief in charge quickly. Recognition of the department in their debrief to be talking more about the risk versus the gain, the focus on their own safety, which also makes the safety officer's job a little bit better in the long run, because one of the things that happens when a dedicated safety officer goes in service is that a lot of people think that relieves them of their responsibility to be safe. And really nothing could be further from the truth. It's just that the safety officer offers a set of eyes that is focused completely on making sure everybody gets out of the situation and back to the station. Well, for our final report today, we're going to talk about report number 09-193. This one happens to be submitted by a safety officer from a volunteer fire department in FEMA Region 3. In this case, the reporter was told of the event, but neither witnessed it or was involved, which could mean a couple of different things. They either heard the account third party or third hand, or firefighters reported the incident to them as part of the department's after-action process. So I'm going to turn it over to Jim.
Thanks, John. The event description. We responded to a working house fire, and two firefighters attempted to place a ladder to the second division. As the firefighters were beginning to raise the ladder vertically, they failed to recognize the electrical power lines directly above and adjacent to their objective location. As the fire ground safety officer was performing his 360 of the house, he recognized the proximity of the electric lines as the ladder was being raised and immediately intervened and stopped this operation. Command activities were targeted to the interior of the house and not exterior operations. The safety officer was only at the incident location due to increased activity to the point of entry of the house. The firefighters involved had minimal training in ladder operations. They were first-year members with overall low to no training. Each had minimal fire ground experience. The operations officer had no knowledge of why the ladder was to be placed. The location would not have had any positive effect on this operation. The lessons learned are: need to be specific on the operation chief's responsibility. Identify probationary firefighters by a designated identifier. Command failed at some point due to not knowing why the ladder was placed at this location. Increase communication and mandate training in the department. Back to John.
The final report today touches on a number of points that we find pretty interesting as we review a number of our near-miss reports, not the least of which is the commander not knowing about the ladder being placed and why it was being put in that location. Even the best of us can be undermined on any given day by well-intentioned or even freelancing firefighters. The fact that these two young firefighters were on the scene throwing a ladder can have a number of different reasons, but the bottom line is they were about to get into harm's way, and because the rest of the operation was intent or focused on the interior attack, the actions of these two people was sort of out of everyone's mind. That's where the safety officer comes in, and that's the importance of that role. The 360 the safety officer takes is a continuous 360. It's not one lap around the place and then go stand by the command post. They're essentially always on their wheels for the entire operation. This particular safety officer stepped in very quickly, as did the one in the previous incident, to prevent injury. But that said, the safety officer can't be everywhere at all times on the fire ground. But the fact remains, once you have somebody on the fire ground that is specifically looking for the unsafe act or to try to keep people out of trouble, you're going to end up with a safer operation. At the very tail end of that spear is that everyone needs to be, that safety has to be infused in everyone's mind for the whole time. The final points here, we're going to roll into our conclusion that the role of the incident safety officer is multifaceted. Principally, they serve as an extra set of eyes and ears for the incident commander, but only with regard to the safety role. While they can be versed in strategy and tactics and make comments to that effect, basically the effective incident safety officer fulfills the role by keeping a sufficient distance from the action so that they can keep a wide-angle view. This 60-foot or 600-foot view that a lot of people allude to allows that safety officer to observe and react to a wider range of unsafe situations and actions that are being taken with the best of intentions but may have overlooked a hazard. In addition, the incident safety officer provides a different frame of reference when it comes to strategy, tactics, and tasks. They need to understand those points, which is why we would recommend or always recommend that a safety officer be someone of some experience. And then the safety officer also has to remember what it was like to be on the attack line, forcing the door, making the search, so that they understand the drive of the firefighter and take action only when necessary to keep that firefighter out of harm's way. In the end there, the incident safety officer's skill set requires that they maintain a tireless drive to protect the lives of the firefighters they're overseeing. Yeah, quite frankly, there are two missions, that of the firefighter versus the safety officer, and they will clash at times, but the effective safety officer and a smart firefighter both recognize that the role each has on the incident scene, and they recognize the value of having someone looking out for the welfare of the individual and the team for the betterment of the department. As we close today, I'd like to remind everybody that the 2008 annual report about near-miss incidents that occurred in 2008 is available online and hard copies. If you'll just drop us an email at nearmiss@iafc.org, we can shoot some copies out to you. So until next time, I'd like you to be vigilant, stay focused, and listen and learn.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening. And stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.